This is Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Everything you need to know about the six-time NLL champions, Toronto Rock. Now, here's your host, Mike Hancock.
The Rock had the week off, but hey, let's play two, and why not against the defending NLL champs? What better way to get right back into it? Friday night, it all begins, the home and home with the Saskatchewan Rush at Air Canada Center. Now, this week on the show, we'll have John Fraser from CJWW in Saskatoon, and also the play-by-play voice of the Saskatchewan Rush, Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IsleIndoor.com. We'll stop by. Steve Rapp is also back. And this week, he'll make his picks on a couple of very, very big games coming up on the schedule. Also, Rock sniper Brad Hickey will fill us in on how he's feeling. And starting things off, it's the owner, president, and general manager of the Toronto Rock, Jamie Dowick. Hello, Jamie. Happy belated birthday. How are things?
Things are pretty good, Mike. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So another bye week in the books, and we know the schedule is really out of the hands of the teams, but how do you think your team has handled all these bye weeks this year? You know, it's often been followed by a back-to-back like we'll see this week here.
Yeah, I mean, it is out of our control, really. I mean, a lot of these things are dictated by, you know, arena availability and things like that. So, it is what it is. There's some years you think you might have a better end of it. Some years you seem to get these situations. You know, the good thing about this weekend is, you know, yes, we're coming off a bye, but we are playing the same team Friday and Saturday. So they're in the same predicament as us as far as this weekend goes. You know, hopefully the boys got a chance to rest up a little bit and, recharge the batteries, because there's no more buys and there's no more room for error to the rest of the season. So hopefully they'll come back rejuvenated and ready to go.
Now, I wanted to start things off today kind of by talking about what's coming up next week, and that's the trade deadline and the roster freeze, and just how the roster is going to shape up. A little bit of roster juggling in the last couple of days, with Scott Johnston being moved back to the active roster and Kevin Ross going back to the practice roster. But what do you see in terms of roster juggling coming down the pipe here, and also, you know, the status of Damon Edwards? How does he fit into things here going down the stretch?
Well, I was trying to think about what you were going to ask me today. It would be one of those questions. Well, I mean, first and foremost, Scotty Johnston was out with an upper body injury that was very minor, but he couldn't play the previous weekend. So that was why he went on the short-term IR, so we have activated him. He should be available on Friday night. This is a big weekend for us. You know, with the trade deadline looming, not a lot of room for error or losses on our part the rest of the way here. And of course, we got the defending champs twice on one weekend. So we've got our hands full. This is a big weekend for us as far as, you know, it's the last weekend we're going to play before the trade deadline does come. So, you know, I'm optimistic about this group and we can still make a run here. You know, having said that, wearing the GM's hat, you know, I've got to be realistic. So this is a big weekend for the Toronto Rock, regardless of who the opponent is. The fact that it's the defending champs and the Rush, and, you know, someone who I think's, you know, one of, if not the best team in the league, get a chance to show us where we really are at right now.
Now, last week on the show, we had Matty Sawyer on the show, assistant coach with the team, and talked a little bit about the defensive depth of this club, and that's kind of why I brought up Damon Edwards' name and whether or not we might see him again this year or not. But is defensive depth maybe the area that you're looking to potentially address at the trade deadline, or what would be the area of focus coming up to that deadline next week?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to do anything, that's probably where it's going to be. We have a lot of offensive guys. You know, we got guys that we believe in that we can't get in the lineup right now. So, you know, I definitely would like to address my back end depth-wise, if possible. You know, having said that, you know, tough to get something without giving something up. And I'm hopeful this group put together two wins this weekend, and they still have a run left in them. So we'll see. I've been looking to do that for a while now, and it just hasn't happened. So we'll be patient.
Now, another piece of defensive depth that's kind of popped up this year, a guy I wanted to talk about was Bradley Cree, a guy that the Rock drafted a few years back, spent one season on the practice roster here in Toronto, but then was released, played a couple of seasons in Vancouver, and is now back where everything started for him just a few years ago. But maybe a pleasant surprise that he's been able to do a few more things in terms of taking faceoffs and providing that little bit of extra size as well on the back end. Just wanted you to talk a little bit about Bradley Cree and perhaps the pleasant surprise that he's been this season.
Well, no surprise at all. I mean, he was a Halton Hills Bulldog, wasn't he?
Well, there you
did
go.
You leave that out of there?
Well, it's, okay, not a surprise to some people, but it could have been a surprise to other people.
You know what, Brad's done an unbelievable job here this year. I mean, I got to be honest with you. He was a guy that I was, I watched a lot in the summer, and I've watched a lot over the last couple of years since he left here when we drafted him and subsequently released him. And he was a guy I was really hopeful that might, you know, be a roster pinch in Vancouver and in training camp, maybe to do with his living situation, whatever. And feel fortunate that we got him to come in, because I do think he can play. The whole face-off thing has just been an absolute added bonus. I mean, we had no intentions of him taking face-offs. We had a couple injuries. Pat Merrill went down. Scotty Johnston wasn't back. We really didn't have anyone to take face-offs, and we asked Brad to do it. And I can't say enough about the job he's done in the since he's taken that over. You know, I've never really put a lot of importance on that. You know, that was kind of T's philosophy and this and that. You know, it's like, well, if the goalie makes a save, we'll get the ball back anyways. But, you know, watching it over the last 6 weeks, it's been huge. I mean, it's huge in games and runs and when you're scoring and you can get the ball right back and score again, or when you're giving up goals, you know, to be able to win that draw and stop that drive for, you know, that run of the other team. So he's been awesome. He's got another good challenge ahead of him this weekend, because Jeremy Thompson's pretty good. But he's done an awesome job, he's fit in well here.
We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. And Jamie, as we look at the last month or so, as this team started to win some games, 3 out of 4 here at home, trying to put our finger on kind of that the reason for the turnaround and whatnot, and I think there's a whole bunch of them, really. But I know we've talked about this a little bit on the show last time you were here, but Josh Sanderson continues to kind of amaze and delight at the same time, and just talk a little bit about just what his return has meant here. And you know, are you at all in awe of the fact that he's just been able to walk back in and do this all over again?
No, not really. you know, it's just who he is, and you know, look what he did last year. So, you know, it was a huge surprise to me this year when he came to me and said, "I'm just not ready to go, and I don't know if I'm going to be." So to get him back, listen, a lot of things. I mean, shoot, anyone that's ever played with him knows what he's all about, and I think he commands the respect in the room and probably lifts everyone a little bit. Everyone's playing better. There are a lot of things, and I know shoot. He just wants to do his part and just wants to win games, and really I think that's all he's focused on. You know, we're the guys in our room know what our situation is. We dug ourselves a hell of a hole, and we're trying to do everything we can to get out of it. So I'm happy to have him back. I love having him around. He's a great player, great guy, great to have in the room. And you know, bouncing New England a little bit. You know, we played well with him in the lineup. So. You know, it is a coincidence, but the guys have stepped up to play around him, and he'd be the first one to tell you that.
And another guy who's really stepped up since he's gotten the chance to take the ball and run with it a little bit has definitely been Nick Rose. And, you know, when we talk about the best goaltenders in this game, Aaron Bold and Matt Vince, they always seem to be those first two guys that begin the conversation. But right now, I mean, Nick Rose has the fourth best goals against average, third best save percentage in the league. And given his recent play and what it's meant to the Rock, where is Nick Rose right now in the conversation as to who's been the best goaltender in the league right now?
Well, Nicky's been unbelievable. I mean,
another one I want to say, he never really surprises me. You know, I find whenever I question something and think, is he going to come through with this? He always seems to do it and amaze me. So I shouldn't be surprised when he does things like this. And he's been unbelievable over the last month. And credit to Nicky Rose as a person. I mean, the season probably didn't start the way he wanted to, as far as played once in the first six games, and we were 0-6. And Nick wants to win more than anyone, first and foremost. But you know, I'm sure that was tough on him. So we put him in. He answered the bell, and while we still love Brandon and believe in Brandon, Nick hasn't given us a chance to take him out of the net right now. So, it's interesting. You see Boldy, Saskatchewan giving up huge amounts of goals at different times. And I know Boldy struggled a bit this year. He'll probably be the first one to tell you that. And I'm sure Vino would tell you the same thing. So, I believe Nick Rose is the number one goaltender in this league. And, he just wants to keep winning, whether he's in that conversation of being one of those top guys or not. You know, as long as we win, he'll have a big smile on that face. So he's a great teammate, and we're happy to have him.
Now, as we focus in on this weekend, you mentioned Nick hasn't given anybody a reason as to why you would take him out of the net at this point. Any idea on what the plan is for the goaltenders here this weekend with back-to-back games?
A great follow-up question. I hadn't even thought about that. You know, I haven't spoken to the coach in about a week. We're taking a bye week. He was away for a few days. I've been away with my family, so we haven't really talked about it, to be honest with you. That's a great question. I'm sure Brandon is going to get back in there. We do have two games back-to-back. I would expect to see Rosie in that on Friday night. And we go from there. I don't know where we go from there. We'll see what happens. But I said that I haven't talked to the coach, and he makes those final decisions. So I could look like I don't know what I'm talking about in a few days. But, Rosie's been awesome. We believe in Bimo. Whenever he goes in there, we'll be good there too. So we believe in both those guys. They're both number one goalies in this league, and we'll begin with either one.
All righty. Well, Jamie, thanks a lot for taking some time with us today here. We'll all be pulling for another Rock win at home, especially coming up this Friday, and hoping that the team can continue to take care of business here on home floor. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mike. Talk to you soon.
All right, that was Toronto Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. Coming up in a moment on the show, we'll have Rock forward Brett Hickey. But first, be sure to download the new Toronto Rock app, and don't forget to check in on game days at Air Canada Centre for a chance to win great prizes just for being at the game. The app also connects you to everything you need to know about the Toronto Rock beyond just how to get in on those great prize giveaways. With the Rock app, you're always just one touch away. Now, last season, The Rock, for the first time in franchise history, had a 50-goal scorer. It wasn't Colin Doyle. It wasn't Josh Sanderson. It wasn't Rob Hellier. It was Brett Hickey, and he joins us on the line now. Brett, how are you doing today?
I'm glad, Hammer. How are you?
I'm doing well. Right off the top here, let's talk some more about where you were at last year and where you're at now. And last season was really your first full season in the NLL, and what a year it was, 50 goals. And when you look back now, are you surprised at all at just how quickly the success came once you got that shot at being a full-time NLLer?
Yeah, looking back on the season, I'm happy with how things went. I think it was a huge testament to the guys around me and the confidence they showed in me and the help they gave me throughout, especially early on in the year, and showing that confidence in me later in the season as well, with wanting me to take shots and being a guy that they can go to for goals. And that's just, that left side and even the right side, you know, has a tremendous ability to find the open guy. It's carried on into this season. And even though I had some individual success, I think it's a huge testament to how good our offense truly is.
Now, as we move into this season, your second real full season in the National Lacrosse League, you've had some ups and downs this year, an injury thrown into the mix where you missed a couple of games. What are you learning about yourself and your game, really, in your second full season with the Rock?
Well, I'm trying to find, trying to be consistent in my play and what, help the team win. I think that, if I'm scoring goals and helping the team win, but to the same point, not overshooting the ball either, taking my opportunities and burying it at a fairly decent percentage. I think that's what I'm focusing on. I think that's what I do well. Working hard off ball, creating space for Robbie and the other righties on that side. And hopefully being enough of a threat that we can actually get, that we have giving some opportunities to the lefties as well. So they have to kind of play as the five-man unit and not focus on one individual. And I think that, that I've been doing that. I think we had some struggles early in the season, but I think, we're starting to become more and more consistent as the season progresses.
Now, also, as we kind of shift off the floor a little bit, your face is out there a lot more this year. You're doing more interviews, stuff like this, promos, photo shoots, all that kind of stuff. How's that part of the NLL life been for you?
It's a good experience. I think when I look back on it and my career is over, it'll be something that I can be proud of and something that, it's a unique opportunity that I'm given, and I don't let it distract me from the game. First and foremost, I'm a lacrosse player, and I'm looking to be help the team win and win championships, some of the extracurricular stuff has come my way, but it's not my main focus, and it's just a cool experience when it does happen and when you get those opportunities.
We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock forward Brett Hickey. And Brett, this might sound like a weird question, but sometimes we talk a little bit too much about lacrosse and maybe overcomplicate things sometimes too. So maybe this is a real simple question for you, but just what's the best part about playing in the NLL? The one or two things maybe that at the end of the week or the end of the game, you just think, man, I just love playing in the NLL.
Well, I truly, truly love the game, and I honestly can have my stick in my hand every day and I do and shoot the ball and have fun and I think that's the greatest part about it is, I constantly get messages from former teammates that I played in junior where they're saying, it's so awesome to see you play, and I think that's the cool part is, people say I'm still relatively young at 25, is I still do get to play the sport that I grew up loving, and that to me is the cool part about it. I get to play with players I grew up watching and idolizing, and even to this day I think is pretty cool in my opinion, and the fact that I just get to play and continue to grow the sport and is a phenomenal opportunity and a great experience, and I'm honored to be able to do that.
So now it's time to put you on the spot a little bit here. We've had Nick Rose on the show, and of course, you live at the Rock Pile, or the house affectionately known as the Rock Pile, along with Nick Rose, Damon Edwards, and Scotty Johnson. And Nick Rose, being on the show a few times over the last year or so, without hesitation, has kind of put the ignition. The key in the ignition, and with no regard for humanity, started the engine and backed the bus over some of his roomies. Namely, Scott Johnson seems to take the brunt of this. So I got a few questions for you here. Rosie, he loves to cook, and he seems that he's always saying he's breaking it. He's breaking it. He's made this other great meal. But is there a closet chef there at the Rock Pile that's just waiting to come out and break it himself?
Well, as much as Rosie's a huge social media guy, as you well know, so he's very, very quick to post meals that are collectively made and post them as he's breaking it. I know during the week, he cooks his own meals and stuff like that, and even when we have the group meals, he does a lot of the cooking, but I think some of it might be be more the fact that he posts it and other people in the house may not. He's definitely a great chef, and you know, it's always fun when we do those group meals together.
All right, so he's taking maybe a little more credit than he deserves, is what you're trying to say.
I wouldn't say every time, but maybe at times. You know, I know Damo. Damo definitely holds up his end of the bargain when it comes to cooking, and I don't see Damon really posting about breaking it, but he's definitely the other half of the cook when we have the big group meals.
Now, you know, Scotty Johnson, I'm not trying to get an opportunity for you here to throw him under the bus, but last year, you know, Rosie kept saying, you know, he's kind of dragging it around the house. He's not really holding up his, end of the bargain when it comes to cleaning. Is he still the biggest mess?
I mean, it'd be tough. I mean, I don't want to throw him under the bus because, I mean, he is a working guy now. I mean, he's up early and he does get those... sometimes just those midday breaks maybe, but he's working, so he's out of the house early. He comes back late, so does he keep up after his dog? I have to say that maybe he he does a little bit, but no, he's definitely a working man now, and I think it's more of a. Less of an excuse now than it was in the past.
Now, lastly about the roommates, is there one guy that you absolutely have to keep the TV remote away from?
You know what? We're pretty good as a group, to be honest with you. I think Damon is the one that's probably the most picky. I know we love to throw on the Big Bang Theory at times just to annoy him because he really hates that show. And sometimes we've got to keep away from Scott because Two Broke Girls is on, and we don't like that show,
man.
But he seems to really like it. But you know what? Other than those two shows, I think that we're pretty good. Usually it's sports on the TV anyway. Unless we're diving into a movie.
Well, to change the channel, so to speak here, the Rush are in town this week. Every week, obviously, a big week for the Toronto Rock at this point in the season. What are you expecting from this matchup on Friday and on Saturday?
Well, you know what? I think we're obviously in a must-win situation pretty much throughout the rest of the year here. You know, we got to put some wins together and go on a run to make a playoff push. And so it's desperate lacrosse, and I wouldn't say desperate lacrosse, but we gotta push the pedal and we gotta find some wins. And they're not sitting first yet either. So I mean, I think it's going to be an intense weekend. I think that a lot of what you probably saw last year. We're coming into our own, and our defense has been great, our offense has been clicking the last few weeks, and you're going to come into a team that just put up 24 goals. So we're going to have to come prepared and be ready to answer the bell. But I think it's going to be an intense weekend, and I think it's going to be a fun weekend.
All righty, Brett. Well, thanks a lot. Best of luck this week, and hopefully the Rock can put up a couple of wins here.
Thanks a lot, Hammer. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Toronto Rock forward Brett Hickey. It's time for a short break here on the show and a SportsCenter update. But on the other side, we've got Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSM. But immediately following the break, it's John Fraser, the play-by-play voice of the Saskatchewan Rush. That's all coming up here on Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. I am Mike Hancock, and coming off yet another bye week, the next Rock home game is this Friday night, and it's a rematch of last year's NLL Champions Cup final with the Saskatchewan Rush at Air Canada Centre. Again, that's this Friday night. Also, please note the 7 p.m. start time, and that's a change from the original schedule. You can grab your tickets right now at torontorock.com. Now, with the Saskatchewan Rush as the opponent this week, I thought we would try and learn a little bit more about just how the Rush are getting it done both on and off the floor this season. So we've gone to the play-by-play voice of the Saskatchewan Rush, John Fraser, and he joins us now. John, welcome to Toronto Rock Total Access. How are things?
The things are great, minus the snowstorm that hit Saskatoon a couple days ago. But outside of that, things are pretty fantastic. My back hurts from shoveling, though.
Well, we've been pretty lucky here. Not too much snow this year in Toronto, but the product on the floor with the Rock here this year, it's been a bit of a tough season, but I wanted to start off really just talking about kind of what has made the rush go so far in Saskatoon, and maybe just tell us a little bit about what's been just so appealing to fans in Saskatoon and why they've been coming out in droves so far already to support the rush.
Well, I really think, Mike, I think it's a couple of factors. One, very quietly, Saskatchewan has always had a very strong lacrosse community throughout the province. I know there's a great junior organization here in Saskatoon, similar down in Regina. So as soon as you bring the pros here, there's already that grassroots community that's building it from the ground up. And then when you got to the game day experience, you had your nice hardcore fan base that loved the game, followed the league daily and all that. And then they've done a fantastic job of marketing here in the city. You see Rush logos everywhere. You go to the game. I got to give credit to Lee, the president, Andrea with the VP of marketing, Bruce Urban, the owner. They've really made every home game just a fantastic experience. I mean, I'm up in the gondola at the SaskTel Center, but you can tell, like, just down below, there's a buzz. There's so much fun. And really, the third thing is Saskatoon has been craving a winner for a very, very long time, especially for the winter sports. I mean, we've always had traditionally very good varsity athletics with the University of Saskatchewan. I mean, won Vanier Cups in the day, in the football games, very well attended. Men's hockey, women's basketball have all done very well this year, just at the recently completed championships. But when you look at, you know, hockey, I mean, the Saskatoon Blades have been here. They've been a proud member of the WHL, but they've never won a championship. So you bring a team into Saskatoon that is winning instantly, that has some really high-profile stars, and you make the game an experience, and it's really worked on so many levels. And, in fact, the last home game, and this is just a regular season game against Georgia, of all teams. You know, you thought you could pull a big number against Calgary or a traditional rival, but they had 13,720, and that was third all-time in sporting event attendance for the arena. The only two things that ever beat it were two U.S.-Canada World Junior games. It's been just a great success here in the city.
Wow, that is pretty impressive to hear. Now, you know, what is the knowledge of the league like among the fans out there? And kind of, do they realize that they almost have like a future dynasty here has kind of dropped in their laps as well?
Well, I think people quickly started to figure it out. That was one thing the Rush did a very good job of. As soon as they arrived, they told everybody, hey, we're the defending champions. You're not getting an expansion team. You're not getting a team that struggled. You're getting the team that won the Champions Cup last year. And they've been able to market themselves in such a way that people know they're not going to go to the SaskTel Center and see a 15-6 blowout or something like that. So I think as the team has gotten here and you've had people come to the games, you've started to get more and more interest as the league of a whole. I mean, people here in Saskatchewan are famous. I mean, the Rough Riders are number one here, and I don't think they could name three players off the Toronto Argonauts. So they get very invested in their team. But, I mean, the number one question I get, even when I'm out doing other things, covering other events for my real job as a full-time sports guy on the radio here, I get, that's the number one thing people ask me. I'll be at a curling bond field, and people will say, so, hey, what's the deal with the Rush here? I got to come check out a game.
We're currently in conversation with the Saskatchewan Rush play-by-play man, John Fraser. And, John, as we talked about already, the Rush really do have an embarrassment of riches in terms of talent. But is there one player maybe who isn't one of the headliners that has already become a bit of a fan favorite out there?
Well, people love Nick Billich from the home opening game. Nick, he's only played 7 games, but when you have a fight in Saskatchewan in your first game, people love Nick Billich. I got to give him some love. He's actually my neighbor. He rents the house right beside me. But people have really grabbed on to Nick Billich. Jeremy Thompson is another one. There's a very strong First Nations community around Saskatoon, so a lot of people already driven to him. He's put on some clinics already here in the city with First Nations youth. And then people that love good hard-nosed defense, another Saskatchewan favorite. Ryan Dilks quickly becoming a fan favorite, and it's not just because his granddad taught to everybody that mentions his boy or his grandson on Twitter. But, you know, when you're creating turnovers and picking up loose balls at the rate he has, adds a couple goals, and he's quickly becoming a guy that fans are relating with too.
Now, we may be dealing with a little bit of a small sample size here so far, but do you think, given what we've seen thus far, that the Rush can be successful in this market long term?
Oh, I absolutely think so. Do I think that they're going to start selling out every single game? You know, I'd love to see it, but I've also been around Saskatoon sports fans for a very long time. Now, they are coming in at kind of an ideal time. The Riders were not good this year, and they will never go head-to-head with them. And I love the Saskatoon Blades, and I love the people around that WHL team, but they are maybe at some of their lowest points in a long time. They've had a couple back-to-back bad seasons. So I think your casual fan has started to gravitate a little more towards lacrosse than anything else. I would fully anticipate that they're going to average better than they did in Edmonton, only because of a successful first year. And I think people are really enjoying it. And, you know, as long as you're not up against the Riders in this province, you could usually draw fans. And, man, their schedule couldn't fit in any better.
Now let's talk a little bit more about the product on the floor. You know, the Rush, I think everybody assumes that with just how good that they've been, you know, their last few years in Edmonton, that, you know, they're poised to just run the table almost every year here. But was there a little bit of a championship hangover maybe to start things off in Saskatchewan?
Oh, 100%. There was a championship hangover, and then combine that with their schedule was really working kind of weird, and I think a part of that was because they came to the market so late after the concerts had been booked, you know, Blake Bocchi had been booked and all these other things. So they started off the year by playing, then they had a bye week, then they played, then they had a bye week, and it's been a real fragmented schedule. And I think that contributed to, even head coach and GM Derek Keenan said the same thing, like, hey, our schedule didn't do us any favors at all. Now they're starting to play, you know, kind of weekly. The last home game when they played Georgia, Keenan had said on the team's website to all of us in the media before, like, I'm not happy with one aspect of our play. And this is a team that was a couple games over 500. So after the Georgia win, he said that was our first full effort, and I think we're going to build on that. And although the defense maybe was still here in Saskatchewan over the weekend, it looks like they started doing exactly that when they took on the Vancouver Stealth. And that, or they just wanted to prove that those ugly jerseys should probably be put away and never worn again.
Well, I'm glad you said it and I didn't have to.
I'm waiting to get a phone call from my buddies in Vancouver saying, oh, they were great. But, Matt, I was watching the webcast of that one and going, oh, what is going on with those things?
Yeah, it was a different look, and we'll leave it at that. But what have you noticed, though, in the last few weeks? I know, like you just mentioned, Derek Keenan said basically the team had to get better almost everywhere, and that seems to be kind of a typical line sometimes from a coach. But what have you noticed over the last maybe four or five games where we've seen the Rush win four of their last five, and that only loss was in overtime in a game that they probably could have won against Buffalo? Yep. But what have you noticed these last few weeks that seems to have kind of turned the corner a little bit?
I'm going to use a coach's favorite term and say compete level. They just seem to be beating other teams to loose balls. The offense is really clicking, and as you mentioned, the overtime loss, the only other loss in a couple games before that was to Colorado, and that's when we were without Zach Greer. He had some work commitments. He couldn't make both games in the weekend, and it seems as though Zach Greer, Mark Matthews, now that they're starting to play together regularly, have really started to figure it out. Curtis Knight has come on. Obviously, he missed all of last year with a knee injury. He started slow this year, and I don't think anybody can fault him for that. You blow up your ACL, and you're coming back with some new faces, and after the championship year that they had, he's really come on of late, and even though they gave up a lot of goals over the weekend, I think the defense is just tightened up. They're playing more of a team game. They're blocking a lot of shots. Like, I mean, those guys must just be covered with welts, and to me, Aaron Bold still has not played his best game of the year. That game against Georgia was real close, but he's had a couple off nights, and I think if he can build off the Georgia performance, and I know they just beat Vancouver, but again, it was one of those that a lot of goals got behind him. I think the defense and goaltending still have room to go, which is scary, because in past weeks they've been gradually getting better.
Now, as we look forward to this weekend, the Toronto Rock, Saskatchewan Rush, they get together for a home-and-home. Is there a bit of a different level of excitement here with the Rock coming to town on Saturday?
Oh, there seems to be a buzz about this city every single time they play, but there is a little bit, because I think people understand. I mean, even casual lacrosse fans here in the province, we had all heard of the Toronto Rock before. I mean, they were kind of, for the longest time, I remember even as a boy growing up, they were Canada's team almost. They were all over the media. You could see them on a quasi-regular basis. So there is a little bit of a buzz as well. The Rush are doing an extra fundraiser for the Children's Hospital Foundation here on Saturday night when we're back at home, of course, the back end of the home-and-home series. So there is a special buzz, and I think a lot of people are really excited to see the rematch, especially, you know, usually when two teams play each other back-to-back on a weekend, you see it real often in our league, but when you do, usually game two is, how do you say, it gets a little feisty.
Yeah, you guys are definitely going to have the benefit of probably the nastier affair, we'll say, probably on Saturday night. Thanks a lot, John, for joining us. Really enjoyed your calls so far on the games this year as well. We'll do this again soon.
Thanks a lot, and I'll be watching your game on Friday night. Best of luck, but not, you know, too much luck. We want to see a couple rush victories out here.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, John.
Beautiful. Take care.
All right, that was John Fraser, the play-by-play voice of the Saskatchewan Rush. We've got Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction coming up in just moments here on the show, but I do have to remind you to download the Toronto Rock app and check in at the game on Friday night for your chance to win. It's easy. Just download the app, check in, and you just might win a great prize. Fans have already won some great stuff this year, including a trip to Nashville and autographed pro jerseys. Stay in touch with the Toronto Rock app, just one touch away. We now welcome back to the show Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. Glad to have you back this week. Steve, how are things?
Good, Mike. Still fighting through the pain, but we'll get it done and pick a couple winners.
Alrighty, well then, let's jump right into it. We'll start off with the slightly surging Calgary Roughnecks. Winners are their last two, and one of those wins happens to be against the team they're on the road against this week, the top team in the NLL, the Colorado Mammoth. What's the play here?
Well, absolutely, you said it. They're playing one of the best teams in the NLL right now. And sometimes a couple things are going to fall into place, and we get here what should be an easy one, Mike. Calgary plays George. He plays in George on Friday night, and then they're going to travel to Colorado to play a Mammoth team that's sitting and waiting for them. Add that to the Mammoth. We're also remembering that last game they played, as you mentioned, it was a 13-9 loss to these same Roughnecks. Colorado, with the best flat record in the league at 8-3, is not accustomed to losing two games in a row. Definitely not to an inferior entire team. Colorado gets very healthy here, and you may want to take a look at some of the adjusted lines, which is going to allow you to lay one, two, or three or more goals and take back a better price. I think Colorado gets revenge on Calgary here and beats the entire team. Colorado easy over Calgary.
All right, next up, the Toronto Rock, winners of three of their last four, play host the defending champion Saskatchewan Rush on Friday night in the first half of a home-and-home. Who you got in part one on Friday night?
Well, you're right. It is a home-and-home, and this one's very interesting because we're taking a little flyer here that the Rock can beat the very good Saskatchewan Rush at home before they play again on Sunday in Saskatchewan. Rush are coming off an offensive explosion in Vancouver where they scored 24 goals and beaten the Stealth. I'm going to hope that they're tired, both from the long travel trip that they're going to have to take from Vancouver to Saskatchewan, then on to Toronto, as well as raising their arms in celebrations from all the goals they scored last week. That should tire them out as well. Listen, it's like we know, it's desperate times for the Rock now. The season's beginning to dwindle. It's going to be tough to beat the Rush twice, so let's figure they get this one at home as a small dog, get one in the books, and then we'll see what happens on Sunday in Saskatchewan.
That's right, and hey, if they win that game on Friday night, you know, not to throw a pun in here, but the Rock will feel like they're playing with house money there.
Absolutely. You know, house money's a good thing.
That's right. All right, awesome stuff, Steve. Great to have you back, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, that was Steve Rapp of Sports Interaction. This segment is brought to you by Sports Interaction. Betting lines are available on all Rock games as well as all major sporting events established in 1997 and licensed and regulated in Canada and Jersey. Sports Interaction is a proud sponsor of the Toronto Rock. Now, when we come back on the other side, we'll be in the home stretch with our regular check-in with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and, of course, from islandor.com. There's more to come on Toronto Rock Total Access right here on TSN. SN1050.
Now the script's about to kick off. This party looks whack. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody this track up. Everybody get back. That's why my pinnies are bad, cause my rhyme's on the red tag.
If you like getting a lot for a little, make it a Mitsubishi and drive home a Mitsubishi Mirage for only $8,998. Pricing based on MSRP, freight, PDI, and other charges are extra. Plus, head to a Rock game and then visit a Toronto area Mitsubishi dealer for the chance to win a one-year lease on a Rock-branded 2016 Outlander. Conditions apply. Go to gtamitsubishi.ca or visit your Toronto area Mitsubishi dealer for details. Proud sponsors of the Toronto Rock. Mitsubishi, built better, back better. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. Rock fans, we're only a couple of days away from Friday's return to the floor for the Rock. It's minor lacrosse night, and it's also a rematch of last year's Champions Cup final with the Rock hosting the Saskatchewan Rush at Air Canada Centre. Jump on it right now and get your tickets at TorontoRock.com. We now welcome back to the show from the NLL on TSN and Islandor.com, Brian Shanahan. Shanny, how are things today?
Not too bad, Mike. How about you?
I'm doing well. A bye week for the Rock, so let's talk a little bit about some off-the-floor news. A big one last week as we saw a head coaching casualty in the form of Dan Perreault in Vancouver. Were you surprised at all by that move?
No, not really. I mean, I guess the Toronto Rock had something to do with it. Maybe they were the last nail in the coffin, but that team has really struggled since they came to Vancouver, and Dan Perreault has been there for a while, and so eventually you know how it goes. It's easier to change the coach than change all the players, and I think management decided it was time to pull the trigger, and I think it's a good choice. And Jamie Batley's he's coached over 80 games in the NLL, and he's got a above 500 record, and and he's had some success in the league. Plus, we all know he's had great success in the summer leagues, winning five-man cups with Peterborough. So I think it was a change that they needed to make. And, it's always tough when a guy gets fired. But I think Jamie Batley will be a good coach. It might be too late for them this year, though, because they've got a pretty big hole to climb out of.
Now, Jamie Batley is somewhat familiar to Rock fans as well, as he came in basically for most of the 2009 season, went 5-8 here in Toronto. But his debut, like you said, on the weekend behind the stealth bench, probably didn't really go as planned, I would think, as he didn't have Garrett Billings or Logan Schuss in his lineup, but they were still able to score 16 goals. But, unfortunately, keeping the ball out of the net seems to be an ongoing problem with this stealth team.
No, it sure is. And it was a strange game, coming into the lineup, having two of your best shooters, Billings and Shush out is really tough. So I think it was actually surprising how many goals Vancouver was able to score. They scored 16 goals themselves, but being as offensively minded as they were, that game didn't help the defense because they allowed 24 goals by Saskatchewan. But even going into the fourth quarter of that game, it was still a one-goal game. I think it was 16-15 going in the fourth quarter, but Saskatchewan just lit them up in the fourth quarter. I think they scored three goals in 19 seconds to blow it wide open. But that's a tough game to play. Your very first game in the NLL season to be playing against the defending champ, missing two of your best offensive players.
Now, a team in the East that has started to perhaps go a little bit in the wrong direction, the Georgia Swarm, struggling, and we're on the very wrong end, I guess you could say, of an 11-4 loss to the Nighthawks on the weekend. Do you see that this might be the beginning of a bit of a free fall for the Swarm, or do they still have enough in the tank here to kind of right the ship?
I think it's kind of what a lot of us were expecting, that the sooner or later they'd, fall down just because of their youth. And so this is not surprising to me, but I was probably more surprised with how well they did at the beginning of the year. I think the Rock must hate the timing of things because, they ran in the Swarm a couple of times when they were, still full of confidence and winning games. And, now it looks like that, might have gone quite a bit. I could still see them getting a few more wins. I think they've got a great coaching staff there, but I think at the end they'll be on the outside looking in. I can't see them getting one of those three playoff spots.
And conversely now, the Rochester Nighthawks obviously looked pretty good in that win over Georgia. Is this a veteran team that is now starting to find themselves in the second half?
I would think so, although Rochester this year surprised me, how many times they've come up flat. But that game, against Georgia on the weekend where they won 11-4 is the type of game we expect from them. Great goaltending, great defense, and just enough goals to win. And that's kind of the formula they used to win three championships. And we can't forget that in those three championship years, they struggled at times during the season, but they were able to turn it on when they had to. I'm just not sure, though, about them because, we saw what, happened to Rochester against the Rock a few weeks ago when, they totally got blown out and Buffalo's beat them. And they've just come up flat a few times. So until they can go on a run, I'm not totally sold, but I do think that they will play good enough to get a playoff spot.
We're currently in conversation with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN. So let's talk a little bit about the Rush here coming to town this week. 7-3, knocking on the door, almost back at the top of the NLL standings. They've won four of their last five. That only loss coming in overtime to the Bandits over their last five. What's kind of straightened itself out with the Rush recently?
I don't know if it's just sort of, the hangover from winning last year. Sometimes I think championship teams forget how much work they have to put in every single game in this league because it really was, some inconsistency. The scary thing is, though, as inconsistent as they have been, they still have a great record, 7-3. But I don't think they've hit their stride yet, and, who knows if they will or not, but they really haven't played, the kind of dominating lacrosse we saw over the last couple of years on a consistent basis. We've seen it for spells, but even throughout each game, I think, their coach, Derek Keenan, will even say that it's been rare where they played a full 60 minutes this year. So they do look susceptible, but they're still like a very tough team. They're the second-best defensive team in the NLL, and they're also the second-best offensive team, thanks to 24 goals the other day. So, it's really tough. They can beat you just about any way. You play a defensive shutdown game, they're one of the best at it. But if you open it up, they're pretty dangerous on the transition, especially.
Now, if you're the Toronto Rock, when you factor in that 24-goal performance and, a fairly, decent string of wins recently for the Saskatchewan Rush, how much does all that worry you if you are the Toronto Rock?
Well, I think you just have to come up with a perfect game plan and execute it. And I think Toronto's game plan will be definitely to shut down the transition of Edmonton, Saskatchewan. I think one of the keys is Toronto has to make sure that their offense gets off in a timely fashion to shut down that transition from Saskatchewan. And sometimes that's, your choices of shots when you go to the net or when, somebody's going to the net, somebody's going off. You just cannot be losing that ball in dangerous positions on the floor. And sometimes it's even, Saskatchewan's pretty good at, pressing players in vulnerable situations. So Toronto's got to make sure they move that ball and not get caught with, high turnovers in the wrong places. And I really think that's going to be the key to the game, is eliminating or minimizing Saskatchewan's transition game.
Now, one other thing we always like to talk about here is the goaltending and who we think is going to get the start. And you look at how things have gone so far this year for the Toronto Rock. Brandon Miller doesn't have a win yet. Nick Rose has three wins. The Toronto Rock have three wins. Nick Rose has been great in three of those last four games, the games that the Rock have won. He's been a big reason why they've won. Do you split these two guys this weekend with the back-to-back games, or is this Nick Rose's ball until he loses?
Well, I'd say it's definitely Nick Rose's ball on Friday, and then I think you make that decision after Friday. But I could see them splitting this weekend, but I think it might also depend on what happens on Friday, how Rose and the team play on Friday. But I'd be shocked if Rose doesn't get the start on Friday. And then I think after that, it depends on how he plays, how the team plays. And also, even if Rose plays great and gets the win, I think you have to decide, between the coaching staff and Nick, is he ready to go? Is he strong enough? Is he fatigued? And I would suspect that it's not the end of the world to go two nights in a row if he has a strong game. But Toronto really has to get at least a split this weekend because, if they want to make that last playoff spot, they got to go on a run. And, it's so tough to hit Saskatchewan twice, the defending champs, in one weekend. But I think Toronto has to get a split, and so I think they're going to be going at that first game as if it was a playoff game. I mean, both games like playoffs, but I mean, to get the split, it's a whole lot easier if you win the first one.
All right, Shanny, great stuff as always. And, of course, folks, you can watch Shanny on Friday at 7 o'clock on TSN2, calling the game with Andy McNamara and Claude Fegg. Shanny, thanks a lot for joining us. We will see you on Friday.
Thanks very much, Mike. I'm looking forward to it.
That was Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and ILIndoor.com. Now we're just about done here for this week, but the Rock begin the home stretch this weekend on Friday night. It's minor lacrosse night, and it's a rematch of last year's Champions Cup final when the Saskatchewan Rush are in town to face the Toronto Rock right here at Air Canada Centre. You can get your tickets right now at torontorock.com, or of course you can always grab your seats on game day at the ACC box office. Also, after each and every Toronto Rock home game, you can join the Rock players and cheerleaders at Shoeless Joe's at 276 King Street West. It's the home of the Molson Canadian Toronto Rock post-game party. Shoeless Joe's is located at the corner of King Street West and Duncan Street. And Rock fans, you can also head to Shoeless Joe's before each and every Toronto Rock home game and get 15% off your pregame meal just by presenting your game ticket. This is your chance to meet the Toronto Rock players and cheerleaders and enjoy an ice-cold Molson Canadian at the post-game party. I have to thank my guests on this week's show, Jamie Dowick, Brett Hickey, Steve Rapp, John Fraser, and Brian Shanahan. In the meantime, and in between time, this has been another edition of Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and we'll chat next week.
You've been listening to Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. For the best ticket in town, visit torontorock.com and be sure to follow The Rock on Twitter at Toronto Rock LAX. Stop the rock.